Good morning, Sequoia and guest. It's a good day to worship the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us throughout the night. Lord, we thank you for those who gave their lives so we could walk around in freedom. Lord, as we sing and preach, Lord, let our praises and reverence to you be meaningful to everyone. Just use us, Lord, in a marvelous way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, those of you who want to stand to your feet, or you can worship from your seat, amen. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and a wonderful number of characteristics like patience. And we're going to sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit, because Lord, we need your Spirit in this place today. Amen.
Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There's a sweet expression on each face. Stop. And now we're going to have a scripture read by Barbara. And the scripture is Romans 8th chapter, verses 31 through 37.
What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died for more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for God's sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Yes, and that is a good passage. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen.
Amen.
And now we're going to sing a patriotic song, a beautiful song called Battle Hymn of the Republic. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of its terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Sounded forth the trumpet that will never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. What a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
great to see all of y'all here and to be a part of this service. I want to thank Vanessa and Carolyn and the ladies who have worked so hard this week to present our music, and for Vanessa and Carolyn as they have been with us, I guess, 4 weeks now, right? That's great. In the back of the foyer, there's an illustration of the wheel, and that's the series I'm preaching. We have talked about Christ the center. We have talked about the foundation spoke the word. And we have talked about the other vertical spoke prayer. Today, we're going to horizontal strokes. The vertical strokes have to do with our relationship with God. The vertical strokes, spokes, have to do with our relationship to other human beings. Vertical is to God, horizontal is to others. So we're going to talk about fellowship today, or community. And I noticed this morning in the paper that there was an article, and I think it's on the front page, about the fact that churches are meeting over the internet through Facebook, YouTube, so forth and so on. And that some pastors were concerned about the fact that people would get used to meeting in their pajamas. And I guess that could be a concern. But the issue is, and the problem is, the issue of community and fellowship. And it is, for Christ to be the center of our lives, one of the most important things is that community or fellowship. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, I want to share with you what the writer of Hebrews says about this issue. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. People have asked me over the last few weeks, do I see signs for the coming of the second coming of Jesus Christ because of this virus? And I told people, and I will tell you, it's time to stop looking for signs and it's time to listen for trumpets. The Lord could come back any second. And therefore, we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it is important that we come together. And so that's what the writer of Hebrews says. Then Paul says in Philippians 2, Philippians 2, 1 through 4. When we come together, what should our attitude be? Therefore, if any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. That's the atmosphere of community. It's the atmosphere of fellowship. Putting others first. Now, I want to talk about, and I want to define fellowship. First of all, fellowship starts with mutual experiences. Mutual experiences. It is a joint participation. Everyone in this room who is a believer have a mutual experience. What is that experience? We have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and He has forgiven our sins. We have been born again. We've experienced that new birth. That is an experience we share in common. 1 John 1:3 says, "It is this which we have seen and heard that we declare to you also, in order that you may share with us in a common life that which we share with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." You see, when we are born into the family of God, this really becomes a family, and we share in the common life of the family. We share in mutual experiences. And that experience is, first of all, our coming to Christ and our living with Him. And then Sunday after Sunday, we have more and more mutual experiences. When we had our anniversary, when I first came here, as you sat around the tables, what did we talk about? Mutual experiences. Moments in history. That's what fellowship is about. What you did was celebrate those precious moments in history of your community and of your fellowship. And it was a beautiful thing. So fellowship means to jointly participate in something. The depth of fellowship depends on how many things you hold in common. Now I want to talk about that just a minute. The person we have the most in common with as believers is Jesus Christ. We share the same body. He indwells us. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows our needs. We share more in common with Jesus Christ than any human being we can see, and therefore our deepest fellowship should be with Him. So when we talk about quiet time or spending time with God, what that is a time of fellowship with Him, sharing with Him. The next person on earth that I have the deepest fellowship with is Linda Taylor. We have been married for 52 years. We got married when I was 4. Okay. And I've known her all that time, and we have shared the birth of children. We've shared the loss of children. We have shared beautiful relationships and wonderful churches. We have shared really our whole lives together. And the deepest fellowship I have on earth, other than Jesus, would be her. And then come my children. And then come churches and people that we share. It's a participation. It's things we hold in common. And why we love to be back here is because we remember all the things we mean to each other. The degree that a human being can fellowship with God is how many things they have in common with Him. To share jointly with Him, you must know who He is and what He likes. Fellowship is mutual experiences, shared loyalties, and reciprocal concern. As Amos 3:3 says, we will walk as He walked. And so we have a joint participation. And that joint participation is Jesus Christ is the center of our lives. Amen? He guides our lives. And that leads us to that joint and shared loyalties. which is our connection with God. You see, if Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, and He is directing your life, and Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life, and He's directing it, then our minds will agree. That's what Philippians 2 said, is I let this same mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So if the Lord Jesus is in control of me, and the Lord Jesus is in control with you, we have that shared loyalty to Him, and therefore our relationship will be centered around Him, and therefore there will be no contention, no arguments, and no church splits. You see, when a church has trouble relationally, it's because someone is not listening to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. It's just a fact. You see, we have this joint connection. And listen, it's more than superficial and contemporary. It's spiritual and eternal. It's not just lateral or horizontal, but it's perpendicular and vertical. It is more than the fun of a church banquet, good times with church members, more than polite greetings on Sunday morning, more than handshaking, back slapping, laughter of mutual friends. It has roots in Jesus Christ, in eternity. It is fruitful in time, divine in origin, and human in manifestation. It has roots in eternity. It has fruit in time. It has a divine origin, and it's human in its manifestation. So we have joint participation. We have prioritized our connection with God, with Jesus. He's got to be the center. He's got to be the center of our lives for our church to run smoothly. But more than that, He has to be the center of our lives for our families to run smoothly. The Bible is very clear. If we cannot have our families run smoothly, then we forfeit our right to lead in the church. It is important for us to realize that we are all connected because of our joint participation in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have deep fellowship. We have deep memories of moments. You know, you can sit in that seat and you can look at the baptistry and you'll have a moment come to your mind when someone you love dearly professed their faith in Jesus Christ. Am I right? You have moments when someone stood here and were married. Any of you in the room today married right down here? Raise your hand. Yes. You have moments. You've shared. And your moment was shared with someone else special to you, but also it was shared with this congregation who came. That's fellowship. That's why the place becomes very important. It's because the presence of God was manifested here. And ladies and gentlemen, it will continue to be manifested here. We will still have moments when God was obviously present, when the sweet, sweet Spirit was flowing. Then fellowship leads us to reciprocal concerns. Here's what I mean. We are to be channels for the ministry of God in the lives of each other. We are responsible for each other. We are to provoke one another to love and good works. We are to meet together. There is no doubt you can spend time with God at home by yourself. But ladies and gentlemen, you cannot complete what God has asked us to do, which is to encourage one another in love and good works at home by yourself. Fellowship is vital. It's important. Now, I want you to bear with me. Keith Miller wrote a book, and in the book he said, "The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship Christ wants to give his church. It's an imitation. It dispenses liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. But it is a permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It is unshockable. It is democratic. You can tell people secrets and they usually don't tell others or even want to. The bar flourishes not because, listen to me, most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the hearts the desire to know and be known, to love and be loved, and so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. In our heart, we have the desire to know and be known, and to love and be loved, and those needs are to be met in the local church. We are to love and be loved. We are to know and be known. That's why it's vital that as soon as we can, we get back to our small groups where we are loved and we can love, and where we know and we are known, and where we can share our hearts and be safe. It is vital. Now, if you'll take your Bibles, on my computer, I have a verse of the day. Every day, a verse comes up, and it's my verse for the day. Well, I'm preaching on fellowship and community this morning, and here are two verses of my verses for today I want to share with you. Okay, the first one is Romans 12, 9 and 10. It goes like this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Now listen, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Isn't that incredible? Let me ask you something. Is there someone in this congregation who is devoted to you in love? Is there someone you're devoted to in love? Do you put them above yourselves? Is their well-being more important than your own? That's what Paul said. When I read this, I said, Lord, you're telling me something. Well, then the next day, it's Romans 15. 2. I'll read verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the fallings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself. You know, I read Philippians, if you want to be like Christ, you're going to put others first. He put you first. You're going to consider them more important than yourself. He gave up his life for them. And if we say we're becoming like Christ, that means we will please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. You know, when I was growing up, John Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. I want to tell you something. Ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church. That's the important thing. You see, we come to church to know and be known, to love and be loved, but that means mutual ministry. So when you come here, you ask, who can I encourage today? Who can I minister to today? And in that process of each of us coming, looking for someone to encourage, we will be encouraged. That's why it's so important for us to come back. You guys were ready to come back. Why? Because you missed that loving and being loved and knowing and being known. You missed it. It's in your heart. And being home alone isn't enough. One author said, and he's unknown, the church is intended to be a vibrant, redeeming community of compassion, service, love, and worship. The church was to be the warm, open, pulsating, dynamic, loving, attractive new community of God's people that would penetrate culture and claim it for Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now let me just share with you. How we treat others is important for our evangelism endeavors. Because of the proof of our commitment to truth and Jesus is our love for each other. And our care for each other. Now I will say this. I've been your intentional interim for almost a year now. Can you believe that? And this is a loving church. I have felt loved, and I have felt I could love here. So I am not trying to solve any problems. Praise God. Amen? I am not trying to solve any problems. What I'm trying to do is to encourage us to keep on keeping on loving and being loved, knowing and being known in a community. And so if we're grounded in the Word and we pray, that will lead us with truth and power to minister to each other. Isn't that incredible? And Christ is the power right in the center, the hub. Now next week we're going to do the Lord's Supper. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a supper of community. And it's an illustration of the sermon today. And then the next week, we'll go to the next spoke, which is evangelism. I'm excited to see you all here today. You are so much better than empty pews. Okay? And I hope you have been blessed, and I hope God has touched your heart. And I thank God that you have this fellowship where you can love and be loved, where you can know and be known. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all those who are here today. I thank you for those who are listening at home. And we long for the time when they can be freed from the call to stay home and be here in person. We thank you, Lord, that no one in our fellowship has any virus. And we pray you would protect all those who are vulnerable, and keep them safe. And we long, though, for the day when we all can be here. Father, we just pray that you would enhance our fellowship even more. And we just pray, Lord, and thank you for this incredible congregation of people who love each other, who minister to each other, and who serve each other. Amen. I have one more quote I want to read, and then we'll be done. The visible church is all the people who get together from time to time in God's house. Anybody can find out who they are by going to church to look. The invisible church is all the people God uses for his hands and feet in the world. Nobody can find out who they are except God, because no one sees you when you serve others outside this room. Think of them as two circles. The optimist says they are concentric. The cynic says they don't even touch. The realist thinks occasionally they overlap. And I think right here, this church is is an example of where it overlaps, of where we minister to each other and we care to be the hands and feet of Jesus out in the world. God bless you.